Hello, and welcome to Power Pros Podcast, episode 31, Harmony of Dissonance. I am one of your co-hosts, the Hoff, Chris Hoffman, and with me is my plague-ridden colleague, Chris Slate.
Hello.
And hey, we're back in 2016. It's a new year. We've been through the holidays. We took last week off, but we are back once again to talk about Nintendo. And we're going to be talking about, you know, what's coming up, what to expect in the world of Nintendo in 2016. But, you know, before we get into that, we'll talk about some other stuff. Slate, how have you been?
Well, like you said, plague-ridden, first and foremost. But other than that, pretty good. I spent an ungodly amount of hours over the break playing Mario Maker.
And, oh, nice.
And had a blast. I think I've put in about 350 hours into that game now.
That is a lot. But it seems to be paying off. I saw that your 30 years of NES course has a pretty huge following now.
Yeah, it really just went bananas. I don't know, just so strange. I mean, I saw that got, it was like in a screenshot somewhere, and,
yep.
And it was popping up in the recommended courses at least once for me on the new Mario Maker bookmark site. So just got lucky, and for whatever reason, it caught fire and got over 1,000 stars on it now. And you know, my other levels have maybe like 50, you know, and but it's weird the way it works, because we were talking the other day. You'd put up a new level as well, which I think is an amazing stage. Everybody should check it out. I think you tweeted about it on the official at Power Pros Twitter account.
Yeah, thank you.
You know, and it's getting a lot of good feedback from people that are playing it, but it doesn't seem like it's gotten as wide of a I don't know, release yet. So it's weird how that works.
I mean, it seems like the new filters they put up with that new website have been working really well in some ways. Like, it's really helped with your level. But all my new stuff that I put up, which isn't very much, I've only put up two new levels recently. You know, they're like just buried compared to, you know, the earlier levels I put out there. You know, people were playing them a decent amount. But yeah, it seems like no one has seen this stuff yet. But I am glad that I was able to get back to Mario Maker over the break and, you know, finally. You know, I'm using all the parts and, you know, trying out the new stuff, you know, checkpoints. Hooray.
Yeah. Yeah. This is a game I'll put it down for weeks. But then when I come back to it, I get just as engrossed. It really is deserving of our game of the year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think I'm probably going to, you know, take a little more time off before I get back into it again. But yeah, it's such a, you know, fun game and one that you can always, you know, keep going back to. It's pretty much infinitely playable.
Yeah, yeah, pretty amazing. I really, I don't know what, we talked about this so much before. I don't know that they can do a Zelda Maker. I don't know if that would work, but it would really bum me out if this is the last kind of a Maker game Nintendo does, at least for a long time.
Well, considering that you've already put in, you know, 350 hours into this one, I you know, shudder to think of what might happen if they made another game in a similar vein. I kind of feel like this is plenty for now, but, you know, maybe sometime down the road.
Yeah, I guess it's too early for me to complain.
I guess before we move on, though, I will, you know, make mention of the course ID codes for the last two levels I put up, just in case anybody wants to try them out. The first one being a ghost house stage with three different routes to the end. And that is B9C6000000156FD87. That is the ghostly triple treat stage. Then my other level was just kind of a goofy one that I made. I was trying to make a level that was super, super easy, yet still fun. Basically, a course for beginners. I was trying to get something that my family members could actually complete, and so the course is called Even My Dad Can Beat It. And the ID for that is D456. 0000016240 3A. So if anyone wants to check those out, that would be awesome.
I highly recommend them.
Yeah, but you know, aside from that, you know, I was playing a little more, you know, Pokemon Picross, of course, playing some more Xenoblade Chronicles X. you know, all good stuff.
Yeah, I played a tiny bit more Xenoblade Chronicles, not nearly enough, and played a decent amount of Pokemon Picross. That's become my go-to game when I'm not, you know, sat down in front of the TV investing a lot of time to play a game. It just it's that little game that fills the cracks in the day for me right now.
Yeah, I mean, normally I would just want to play for like a couple minutes, but then I'd be like, oh, hey, there's a legendary Pokemon near here, and I'd suddenly be like, oh, man, I have an hour to, you know, get through this stage I haven't even unlocked yet, and fiddlesticks.
Yeah.
And I'm suddenly playing it for, you know, an hour and a half between the time it takes to get there and then solving the puzzle.
I'm starting to wonder, though, if some of the harder puzzles I've been getting to are, you know, fair, really, because there's one or two that I've really felt like I got to the point where I just had to start guessing, that there was no logical path for me to figure the puzzle out in the correct way. And, you know, it could very well be that I just got stumped. And but I did read online some people had similar complaints where it just didn't seem like there was a way forward. But you know, that's happened once or twice for the most part. I'm just still having fun with it. I really meant to play a lot more Yoshi's Woolly World. Didn't get to that at all. So,
yeah, same thing happened to me. I brought that along with me when I, you know, took it to my parents' place. But, yeah, that one didn't even get opened. I'm sorry to say.
Yeah.
Poor Yoshi.
I mean, for all the complaining I did last year about the game drought, and now I'm not even getting to the games that did come out, I guess I should, you know, maybe not complain as much.
Well, if there's a game drought this year, then you'll know what to do.
Yeah. Well, I'll probably still be playing Mario Maker.
But there actually has been a bit of, you know, Nintendo news that's come out since we last had a show. So why don't we talk about that a little bit?
Let's do it.
So just this morning, I was looking at an interview with the new Nintendo president, Mr. Kimishima. He apparently had an interview with an outlet called Sankei West, who I think might be Kanye West's cousin. No,
maybe like the more financially minded Kanye cousin.
Yeah, probably that. And you know, he didn't really say a whole lot. You know, he was, you know, mostly covering things we'd already heard about before. You know, he did reiterate that you know, they see Splatoon as a really, really big brand and a really big opportunity for them. And you know, certainly no promises were made. But, you know, he says he could, you know, see it, you know, really expanding and getting ever bigger and, you know, maybe, you know, even could be as, you know, popular as Super Mario one of these days. So I guess, you know, we know that more Splatoon is coming, but that's kind of a no-brainer.
Yeah, it really is. As far as, you know, launching new franchises, new IP, it is kind of the defining game for the Wii U.
Yeah, especially in Japan. I think it's probably, you know, poised to become the all-time bestseller for the system over there.
That's amazing. It's amazing because a relatively young team put that together, and it was a bold, kind of a you know, fresh new idea. And you know, I just hope that you know, while I do want to see sequel after sequel for Splatoon, that they don't lose that kind of you know, the spirit that led to the creation of something brand new. I want to see more brand new ideas from Nintendo, especially on the NX.
Yeah, I think I'd be kind of a little bit disappointed if they just went ahead and made Splatoon 2 instead of, you know, trying to, you know, kick it up and do something a little bit different with the property.
Yeah.
The other interesting thing out of this interview, though, was that he said about NX that it will be, quote, a new experience totally different from Wii U and 3DS, end quote. And, you know, that, you know, certainly, you know, got me thinking what the heck, you know, this thing could be. You know, it sounds kind of scary.
There was another quote, I believe, from him too. I don't know if it was in specific reference to the NX. I think it might have been, where he just said something along the lines of, you know, we're fully aware of what you know, gamers want today in the current market, and you know, that doesn't necessarily, that's not a promise that every gamer will get everything that they want, but a lot of these kind of little comments that they've been making here and there lead me to believe that Nintendo really is going to show up something with something that at the same time I'm sure will be kind of have that kind of Willy Wonka Nintendo brand of, you know, craziness and freshness to it, but also something that will more accurately reflect, I think, where gamers are today, which Nintendo, you know, has always been a bit behind.
Really? Because when I read something like that saying it'll be a totally different experience, I'm like, well, what can they do that's totally different unless they, like, totally change the controller? It'll be something you play with your feet instead of your hands or something like that. And, you know, that's, well, that's where my mind starts wandering, too. It's just going to be something totally off the wall like that.
Well, I think,
or literally on the wall, who knows?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's lots of different ways to read it, but kind of what I was getting at is, I think, for example, it could be something like that controller patent that we covered in, you know, the past episode, where you know, you've got that full LCD screen on the controller, so you can really remap what the buttons do and kind of illustrate that in a more creative way, I guess, or it could be the console, you know, a home console portable hybrid kind of idea. But then at the same time, it seems like one of the things we know fairly for certain, based on all the actual announcements they've made, is that they are working on that one unified account. And even if you don't have literally a console that becomes a handheld when you take it away from home, we're probably going to have games that will play on both console and handheld, because they're a shared account now, very much like, you know, like iOS for iPhone and iPad. So I think in that way, I could see them saying, it's modern times where we're kind of doing things, maybe more of the business in the user experience, what you would expect in 2016 and what you would require. But at the same time, we're still going to go crazy and have something that really sets us apart from the competition.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess we will see. I just hope it's nothing that's, you know, too bizarre. You know, I kind of like my Nintendo about as wacky as it is now. If it goes too far off the deep end, you know, I'm not sure I could handle it.
Yeah, I'm the most demanding kind of Nintendo fan. I want something completely unexpected, but still something that I will love in the long run, which is a, you know, quite a lot to ask.
Mm-hmm. Indeed it is. That wasn't the only interesting interview we came across recently, though. You were telling me there was also one with the Smash Brothers creator, Mr. Sakurai.
Yeah, I think it was the Famitsu magazine in Japan polled a bunch of Japanese developers and just asked them to hint at their plans for the new year. And as you would expect, a lot of them just kind of took the opportunity to, you know, give a shout out to products that were previously announced but haven't yet released.
Talk about their latest games, I'm sure.
Right, and some of them would be, you know, a little bit coy, and a lot of them would just say, we're working on a secret project, please look forward to it. I think they literally said, please look forward to it. An old Nintendo Power interview cliche. And but Sakurai said something interesting. He said, I believe the exact quote, and again, this is translated from Japanese, so, you know, take it with a grain of salt there. But he says, I want to enjoy every day like it's Sunday. However, that doesn't mean the next job hasn't been decided. So it's a little bit of a wonky
job, huh?
A little bit of a wonky phrase in there, but it does seem to confirm that he knows what his next project is going to be. And I would have been surprised if he hasn't already been planning it out to some degree or starting to transition to it as he's been finishing up, you know, the last few rounds of DLC for Smash Brothers. You know, I don't think we should expect a Sakurai game in the next 2 to 3 years, to be honest.
But that is good to hear, though. It's, yeah. You know, we're good to know that he's not going off on sabbatical or something.
Exactly. I'm ready for him to, we've talked about this before. It'd be great if he goes right into Smash Brothers for NX, but I'd also love a kind of a quirkier spin-off Sakurai project like Kid Icarus Uprising was for 3DS.
Time to reinvigorate Mach Rider or Pro Wrestling or Balloon Fight.
Well, I'd be up for two of those three. I'm not sure about Balloon Fight, but you know what? I would trust Sakurai to make that game fun.
So do you know what 2016 is, Mr. Slate?
What?
It is, well, it's many things, but among those, it is the anniversary, the 25th anniversary of Sonic the Hedgehog.
Oh, yeah. I guess the old Hedgehog is getting up there now.
I mean, it's also going to be the 25th anniversary of the Super NES and, you know, a lot of other good things.
Well, the 30th anniversary of The Legend of Zelda, right?
Yes, in Japan. Mm-hmm, absolutely. Yeah, it's going to be a big anniversary for a lot of things. But the reason I bring it up with Sonic is because you were telling me about some news that indicates there might be an anniversary Sonic project in the works.
That's right. That seems to have leaked out a little bit. I believe it was somebody who was participating in writing some new songs who had written songs for Sonic games in the past, I believe, let slip that they were writing new songs for a, quote, Sonic anniversary game. I don't know exactly what that is, if it's you know, a brand new title or some kind of you know, remake or something. But it is, it's exciting to know that Sega, you know, seems to be, if this is true, working on something special for Sonic fans for the 25th anniversary.
Well, we already know that there is a Sonic game in development right now for 3DS. But if they're working on something else, especially for the anniversary, that could be really, really cool. Because I thought that, you know, one of the best Sonic games to come out in a long, long time was Sonic Generations, which came out 5 years ago on 3DS, as well as you know, Microsoft and Sony's consoles. And it was really, really good. And I would be thrilled if they made a Sonic Generations 2. I think that would be fantastic.
Yeah, and the 3DS game that's in development is a Sonic Boom title, right?
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, since that's already kind of, I don't know, that doesn't scream anniversary to me, so I'm gonna hope that this is a different project he's talking about.
Yeah, it doesn't really seem like an anniversary title. I guess we'll get to that one later on as we're talking about our you know, upcoming games for 2016. But yeah, it doesn't really seem like an anniversary title, but you never know. Those developers, sometimes they just like, oh, hey, a game is coming out. This is an anniversary year. Let's just call this an anniversary game.
Yeah.
Although that tends to be Nintendo more than anybody else that does that.
Yeah. It's like, what do we got laying around? We can slap a, you know, X number of years of whatever character label on.
Yep, exactly. I think it's time to talk about our favorite news topic, Amiibo.
Amiibo!
And first and foremost, there are a couple of semi-new, semi-Amiibo that have just hit stores. As fans may recall, there was a appearance in the latest Skylanders game of Donkey Kong and Bowser. Specifically, they are Turbocharged Donkey Kong and Hammer Slam Bowser. And they were included in the bundles for those games if you bought it for the Wii U or the 3DS or even for the Wii. And that was the only way to get these, you know, toy figurines. And they worked both as Skylanders and as Amiibo. You could just flip the base and you could switch between the modes. I'm not exactly sure what that does, but I guess it lets you, you know, save data in Skylanders as well as in other games, I suppose. And then, of course, there were, you know, the vehicles that went with them. But that was the only way to get those. If you wanted to get those and their dark variants, it ended up being like, you know, $350 or something crazy like that. And so you and I were like, no way, we're not going to go for this. These don't even look that great. So you and I skipped over those. We got out of there. But then they just released them a couple days ago. On cards, you know, just available by themselves. You don't have to go and get the whole bundle. And, you know, they are available in stores right now. So I went ahead and I picked those up.
Right, yeah. That caught my eye as well. It always seemed like a weird spot, or rather a weird hole in my collection. I kind of drew the line and said, well, these aren't full-on Amiibo. They're kind of half Amiibo, half Skylanders. So mm-hmm. I don't have to buy these. And I'm certainly not going to if it requires me to buy, you know, multiple copies of the actual game and all that stuff. Like you said, it was just too much money. But I am tempted to go ahead and follow your lead and grab the sets individually. Of course, there's still no way to get the dark variants without buying them as part of the game set, I don't think, right?
Not at present. You know, there's been some rumors those might be coming down the road. But at present, no, it's just the regular, more colorful versions that you can go and pick up on blister cards. And, you know, we talked about these before when we saw them in stores. They definitely weren't as nicely made as regular Amiibo. The paint jobs just weren't as good. In some cases, they were just really, really screwy. Like, you know, Bowser's eyes were all over the place and things were just applied really messily. And that's kind of still the case now. It seems like, you know, they might have improved things a little bit, but the paint is still, you know, fairly messy and, you know, not nearly as good looking as you'd find on your average Amiibo. But I remember going through like, you know, a dozen Bowsers or something. Just all of them just were, you know, really, really messy looking a few months back when these were first released. But you know, now when I saw them, you know, individually, I was able to go through a couple and find some that looked, you know, nice enough that you know, I felt good about purchasing it and adding it to my collection. So I guess the quality control has improved a little bit. So that's definitely a good thing. And of course, when you purchase one of these sets, it's not just Donkey Kong or Bowser. They also come with their vehicle. But I'm disappointed to say that you can't actually put the figurines in the vehicles. That doesn't really make any sense to me, and you know, seems like a strange missed opportunity.
Yeah, I guess that's all news to Skylanders fans. But as people, you know, as fans who are Amiibo fans and haven't checked out Skylanders really yet, it is kind of a strange thing. I mean, you'd think they fit together, and that would be the cool thing. It would be to do that, but
I would think it would be the cool thing.
I'm a little disappointed to have to buy the vehicles at all, to be honest, because since those aren't Amiibo, right?
No.
Yeah, so I, you know, as an Amiibo collector, I have no use for those, but I guess it's a way for them to still get more money out of me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because these things cost you know, $25 for one of these sets, and of course, you know, that's almost double what it would cost for just Amiibo, and you know, they have to, you know, pay that and get this vehicle that doesn't interact with the Amiibo, and you know, you can't really do anything with it. And, you know, then, like I said, you know, the paint apps aren't all that they could be. Yeah, it's a bit of a ripoff, but, you know, certainly, you know, way better than, you know, what the previous options were.
Yeah, it's definitely a step in the right direction. I'm still going to, here in the new year, also thinking I might take a look at some of the GameStops that sell, you know, used Skylanders figures, see if any of those characters pop up there as well, or maybe on eBay.
See, I definitely wouldn't do that. Given the option of going out and buying it new for $25 or you know, picking up a used one that you don't know where it's been, I'm definitely glad I chose plan A.
Yeah, I understand that. I mean, I generally want new as well, but you know, it's not a surprise. You can examine the figure at the store, I suppose.
Well, it doesn't say how many times it's been licked or whatever.
Well, you could always wipe it down with an alcohol wipe, I suppose.
On the other hand, we also have another 100% pure, non-licked Amiibo, and that is Lucas, who was recently released in Japan. Lucas from Mother 3 from the Earthbound series. And because I'm still traumatized by how hard it was to get NES here in the U.S., I went out and I imported Lucas. And as you'd expect, it's a pretty darn cool Amiibo. I don't have a lot of emotional attachment to the character since I've never been able to play an officially localized version of Mother 3. But, you know, it's still pretty cool, nicely done, well painted. And, you know, he's always fun to play as in Smash Brothers, so I'm pretty happy with it.
I keep seeing that figure and getting it mixed up with Ness. I keep thinking Ness is Lucas and Lucas is Ness, and they have similar poses, and they're both, you know, cute little kids.
Ness has the hat, man.
So if it weren't for you kind of, you know, kind of getting these things and giving me constant reminders about what's really going on, I think I would have just assumed I already had Lucas / Ness and missed out on it. But I think I've got it, the U.S. version pre-ordered.
They do. They went up for pre-order on Best Buy not too long ago, and I believe I got in touch with you and demanded that you put in a pre-order.
Yeah, thanks for the heads up, as always.
It seems that they weren't quite as difficult to get as Ness was. You know, they weren't exclusive, so I guess that might be one reason. But I'm surprised they were up for days. They might still be available for all I know. You'll be glad to add them to your collection. Mine has a little bit of a messy paint app on like the bottom stripe of his shirt, which is kind of a bummer. Hopefully yours is you know, cleaner and nicer. But it still looks great on my shelf, and happy to have him.
I need a new shelf at this point for all these Amiibo.
Yeah, me too. I was, you know, rearranging them on my shelf just the other day, and it's like, man, I can barely fit these guys on here. There's still a few more Smash characters to come. I don't know what I'm going to do. So I'll figure something out.
Yeah, first world problems.
That does it for the news. We haven't been talking too long, but I think we will take a little intermission, and then we come back. We will talk about what to expect out of Nintendo in 2016. All right, we are back, and we are here to talk about what to expect in 2016, a year-end preview of sorts. What's going on with Wii U and 3DS and anything else that Nintendo has up its sleeve?
Yeah, I am super stoked for 2016. I mean, it looks like, and we're going to get to this in a second in detail, but it looks like we're kicking off the first few months of the year with some really great games. And of course, at the very least, the NX will be revealed this year. That's always a landmark year for Nintendo when they first show off a new system. And then, we may even get it later on in the year. So, I mean, it's going to be a really exciting, really interesting ride to see exactly how this all unfolds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, just looking at the list, it feels like this is a pretty loaded year already, even without knowing what's going on in the, second half or even, the later, three quarters of the year and, not know what's going on with NX. Just there's a lot of stuff to look forward to already. You know, a lot of them are RPGs, one of my favorite genres. And those are games, of course, you can really, really sink your teeth and your time into. So, just lots of cool stuff. So instead of just babbling on about it, let's get into the stuff in detail.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's talk specifically about what's coming out and when. Should we just go through this as it's going to, go through these products as they're actually going to appear?
Yeah, as best we can. And it all kicks off in just a day or two with the release of a new amiibo, and that is Shovel Knight.
That's going to be a really interesting one to see exactly how many of those show up.
Yeah, for sure.
Because it's the first amiibo that isn't actually made or, shipped out by Nintendo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see if the quality stacks up with the other Nintendo ones, and it'll be interesting to see how well it's distributed. I think it's been kind of strange, personally, in that Yacht Club has been very reluctant to let people order these in advance. Orders have gone up on Best Buy and Amazon, but then I think some of them have gone down, and Yacht Club was like saying, oh, they weren't supposed to put pre-orders up to begin with, and for some reason they seem to be very anti-pre-order, which seems strange to me. I mean, personally, if I were them, I'd want to do pre-orders months in advance to try to, gauge how many to sell to people, for one thing. And then, it's so nice to be a consumer and to be able to be like, okay, I pre-order, I don't have to worry about, whether they're going to sell out on release day or jumping right on that that release day launch. If I'm not there at that particular window, it's all gone. It's just, so much nicer that way. And, I was hoping they were going to be like, okay, Nintendo, you've kind of screwed this up and, messed up a lot of people. We're going to, make it really, really convenient and easy, and we'll do this right. But, it seems like they've been, just as sort of awkward as Nintendo's been with it recently.
Well, to be fair, if Nintendo had difficulty, especially in the early months with Amiibo, then it's a tall order to expect an indie developer to do even better. But
I guess, but they've only got one. They only have one character.
I'll be
Nintendo
curious,
had like, 80.
I'll be curious to see how much demand there is versus supply. I mean, there'll be certain Amiibo collectors that may not even know who Shovel Knight is, but will get him just to fill out the collection. And then you'll have a relatively small group of hardcore Shovel Knight fans who will want it because they love the character. But it could end up being that this little indie Amiibo just doesn't have as much demand out there as, as your more recognizable Nintendo characters.
Yeah, I mean, that's what Yakko's been saying is, there's not going to be any shortage. There's going to be plenty out there. And, if they run out, they will, be quick to, try to resupply. So they feel like there's going to be enough out there that there won't be any problems whatsoever. But on the other hand, we don't want there to be, too many out there because then we'd have something that's kind of awkward and embarrassing, like when you have, 5 billion Dr. Mario's or whatever the Animal Crossing character is at Target that they seem to be overflowing with.
The biggest thing I want to know about the Shovel Knight amiibo is it going to do anything when I scan it into Mario Maker?
Yeah, yeah. Like we were talking about that the other day. That would be that's very interesting to find out.
Yeah.
They don't do anything with the Miis.
Right. But they kind of have the Miis have a certain special standing in that even Sakurai kind of tripped out about them initially and wasn't sure if they could really work at Smash Brothers. So for whatever reason, developers look at Miis and aren't sure if they should include them in things. But if Shovel Knight doesn't work, then that will be the first kind of standalone, more traditional video game character that that doesn't, you know, doesn't work as a costume in Mario Maker. So,
mm-hmm. But we do know that it's going to have lots of functionality in the Shovel Knight game, and that there's an update coming for that very soon that will add a whole bunch of new functionality to the Wii U and the 3DS games. So it'll certainly be worthwhile in that regard, you know, no matter what happens with Mario Maker.
Definitely.
So then next on the list, you know, 2 weeks from Friday, we got Mario & Luigi Paper Jam arriving on 3DS.
Right, hitting on the 22nd, and that that looks pretty good. I mean, at the same time, as someone who's played in every game in that series and beaten them for the most part, I feel like it's a little
filthy
bit...
Filthy liar.
Well, I said for the most part. I didn't get past the boss in Bowser's Inside Story.
Yeah, you mentioned that on here before. So yeah. We know. Everybody knows.
But yeah, I've spent so much time in those games that a little bit feels like, you know, from what I've seen of this so far, despite all the, you know, the kind of the new stuff and the addition of Paper Mario to the world, it feels a little bit like more of the same. But at the same time, it's been a while, and it's a familiar meal, but I'm ready to gobble it up again. And I hope that once I start playing it, it'll feel, you know, a little bit fresher than maybe I'm anticipating.
I hope so. You know, I've mentioned several times that I was not, you know, super enamored with it when I played it at E3, and the controlling three characters at once seemed a little bit challenging, more challenging than I'd like. And I wasn't, you know, super feeling it. I mean, I'm probably still going to pick it up regardless, because, you know, these games do tend to deliver. But just something felt like it wasn't quite clicking with me. So I hope that the final product is better than what the preview led me to believe.
Yeah, fingers crossed on that one. But you know it's going to be good at the very least. It's not like a Mario & Luigi game is ever going to be bad.
Yeah, that's highly unlikely. But one good thing is that apparently they've added a dash button to the game.
Yeah, which, you know, when you do a lot of backtracking in these games and you're running across the overworld, you know, trying to get here and there and trying to remember how to get from here to there, that could make a big difference. You know, it's a small thing and you've got it in plenty of other games, obviously. But here, I think it could be just the right touch to help playing these games be a little bit more effortless and fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, is this the first time they've had a dash button in a Mario and Luigi game?
You know, I'm trying to remember. I feel like it is, but I guess I can't say that for certain unless I really go back and check.
Hmm. But also, on January 22nd, we will see the release of a bunch of amiibo. Not only will Lucas be released here in the U.S., but also the next wave of Animal Crossing characters. Kix, Blathers, Celeste, and Mr. Rossetti.
Yeah, it'll be nice to have those. I'm a little bit... I don't know. I feel like I've bought a lot of Animal Crossing amiibo over the last couple months, so I'm not as thrilled for these as I usually am for like the Smash characters. Mm-hmm. But I do like Rossetti. He's one of my favorite Animal Crossing characters.
Oh, he's such a jerk.
I love what a jerk he is. So I'll be happy to pick these up.
I really like the aesthetic of the first wave, so I'll be happy to add these to my collection as well, even if they aren't, you know, quite as cool as the Smash ones, but yep, I didn't import the Animal Crossing ones, so I'll be getting those when they hit in a couple of weeks. Next up on the list is, I believe, Mighty No. 9, which should be coming out on February 9th, appropriately enough. Now, they've been a little bit coy about whether it's going to be hitting the Wii U at the same time as other systems, like PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. We know that the 3DS game is going to be coming later, but, you know, is the Wii U game going to be coming then? I think so, but I'm not positive.
You know, I'm trying to remember if I ever actually filled out the survey as a backer that told them what version I wanted.
Well, you know, they sent out one survey, and I filled it out. And then when they delayed the game, they decided, oh, don't worry about that survey. We're going to send you another survey, and this will be the one that counts.
Oh, and they haven't sent out that second survey yet?
I do not believe so.
Okay, so I'm not behind then.
Because I think I picked Wii U, but since then, like, I ran out of space, and so hopefully I'll either have to figure something else out, or I'll be able to get that hard drive I've been intending to buy to hook up to my Wii U, so I will be able to get it that way. I will say that what I've played of the game, mostly or almost entirely on Xbox and PlayStation systems has been really, really fun. It seems like a really good spiritual successor to Mega Man. Of course, they've had, you know, versions out on PC, on Steam, that backers have been able to play. And, you know, I've heard, you know, some really good things about that. And, you know, we're looking forward to the final game. That should be pretty cool.
Yeah, I'm excited. I haven't gotten a chance to play it at all, and I've almost intentionally kind of been ignoring it because I just want it to be a nice little treat when it finally shows up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's been, you know, so long in development and delayed so many times, it's easy for people to forget about it, and I feel like, you know, a lot of the glow has worn off on it, but I think once it hits, people will be happy again.
Yeah.
Coming up after that, on the 16th of February, we have Project X Zone 2. That is a 3DS tactical RPG, and that's the crossover game featuring characters from Namco Bandai, Sega, and Capcom. And it's like throwing all of our favorites into the mix, you know, with a few exceptions. But like, you know, Mega Man X is in there, Resident Evil, Tekken, Street Fighter, Darkstalkers, Dot Hack. Did I say Phoenix Wright already? Virtua Fighter, Streets of Rage, Sega to Sanshiro is in there. And for the first time, it's also got some Nintendo characters. Someone from Xenoblade and a couple of Fire Emblem characters.
I haven't been paying nearly enough attention to this game, just based on the fact alone that it has Sega to Sanshiro in there. I should buy it just to support that. But yeah, I didn't play the first title either. But it seems like something that would be right in my wheelhouse.
Yeah, I haven't really been paying too much attention to this release. You know, I did get the last one, and I, you know, barely played it. But yeah, just by virtue of the fact that it has all these characters in there, especially, you know, the new Nintendo editions, you know, it's very exciting, and I will definitely be picking this up. It should be pretty rad. And speaking of Fire Emblem characters, just a couple days later, on February 19th, the real deal next Fire Emblem arrives on 3DS, Fire Emblem Fates.
Yeah, I am so excited about that game. That's my early bet for a 3DS game of the year. And of course, we don't know a lot else about what's announced for the rest of the year. But when Fire Emblem Awakening came out, that was a game of the year contender. And I don't expect this to be any less than that.
Yeah, I know. That one turned you into a big fan of the series.
Yeah, and I've never been that big into it before, or even that big of that kind of game, but man, it was just so good. I think it won over a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that was really the one that the got its teeth into me as well. Maybe not quite as much as it did for you, but yeah, it really, really impressed me, and so I'm really looking forward to this one. So we've got, you know, the two different retail versions, and then there's that third additional quest. So this is going to be, you know, triple the fun for Fire Emblem fans.
Yeah, although I guess we don't know exactly when that third quest is coming out, if it's going to be on the same day or a little bit later.
Well, I think with two quests available right off the bat, two full-fledged, full-length Fire Emblem games, plus DLC probably, I think that will keep us very busy, even if the third path isn't available for a little bit longer.
I'll be honest with you, I ordered the special edition that includes all three.
Mm-hmm, me too.
But I don't know if I'm going to be able to play three full-length Fire Emblem games back-to-back-to-back like that.
Yeah, that's a lot to ask.
Yeah, I'll tell you
it's
what.
It's a lot of Fire Emblem for 1 year.
If I'm able to do that, then that means they really have delivered something special. So, you know, I guess I hope that happens.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I mean, if it's you know, as good as Awakening, then you know, I can see us spending a lot of time on these titles. It's definitely one to look forward to. And of course, you know, Corrin, the main character, is going to be in Smash as well.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another reason to you know, be hyped up about it. Yeah, we saw that character unveiled, and we're like, eh, okay, well, that's probably cool, but we don't now have any, you know, investment in who he or she is. But that's all going to change once this game hits.
Yeah. So. Here's hoping the Corrin Smash Amiibo is easier to get than all the other final Fire Emblem characters.
yes, indeed. And of course, Korn isn't the only new character that's coming to Smash Brothers in February. That's also when we're going to be getting Bayonetta, she with the glasses and long, dark, deadly hair, plus her Clock Tower stage, the Umber Clock Tower, and those Mii costumes, including Knuckles and Tails. That'll be the final set of Smash DLC coming in February.
That's going to be a really nice set, but I'm already getting a little sad that that's the end. That's the end of all the new Smash Brothers content.
Yeah, it can't last forever, I guess. Not if Sakurai's going to go off and make other games. But still, it should be a lot of fun when that stuff gets here. You know, I haven't really played that much with the DLC that's come out recently, but I think once it all hits, you know, I'll fire up the game again and be able to really get back into it and really have a blast with all that stuff.
Yeah, that'll be a good opportunity to do that too, to kind of celebrate the completion of Smash Brothers by just mm-hmm. digging in and really enjoying all the new stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And of course, there is no exact date for when that's coming. All we know is that sometime in February. But we do know about a couple other February releases. On the 23rd, we are going to be getting a Mega Man Legacy Collection on 3DS, and of course, there's the bundle that where you can optionally get the gold Mega Man amiibo.
Mm-hmm. Pre-ordered.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, of course. Me too. And you know, that has you know, Mega Man 1 through 6, all the NES games, you know, in all their original glory, enhanced with 3D though. All on 3DS, along with some challenge modes and extensive gallery stuff, and you know, all on one physical cartridge, or you can download it too. But yeah, even though they're already available on the you know, virtual console on 3DS, this will be the first time that they're in 3D, and of course, the first time they're all bundled together on that system. And you know me, as a huge Mega Man fan, I will absolutely be getting this, as I, you know, just indicated, pre-ordered as well. But, yeah, you know, the more Mega Man I can get, the better, as far as I'm concerned.
Absolutely.
And then, a little after that, on February 27th, we are getting some Virtual Console stuff. The re-releases of the original Pokemon games, Pokemon Red, Blue, and Yellow on 3DS, in all their classic black and white glory.
Yeah, and they've been retooled to be able to work without the link cable, the old Game Boy link cable, mm-hmm. So that you can still link, but using your newfangled Wi-Fi connection on the 3DS. Mm-hmm. So that'll be great. It's a great opportunity. I mean, this isn't just any virtual console release. This is a great opportunity to go back and kind of rediscover that series straight from the start. And I'm thinking I might actually do it. I've said before on the show how I'm a little intimidated by how much the game has grown and how many Pokemon there are now, but I'm going to go back to a simpler time when, you know, you didn't have multiple hundreds of Pokemon, and there were fewer features. And,
only 151.
You know, see if I can get hooked. You know, that way.
Yeah, confession time for me as well. I have never played through the original Pokemon. I dabbled in it a little bit, but the first one I ever spent any extensive time with was Gold and Silver.
Mm. Diamond's the one that I've actually played through and beaten. But for some reason, even that one, I got it. I had fun with it and everything, but I still didn't. Still feel like I kind of missed getting, you know, bitten by the Pokemon bug. So this will be another chance for me to hop fully on board.
Yeah, maybe you can get your kids into it as well. Wouldn't that be fun?
Yeah, I mean it's popular with kids, obviously, for a reason, because you know, the Pokemon are awesome, and finding them and collecting them and everything, and you know, it probably is an easier game for them to try and learn than some of the more recent ones that have a lot more features and are maybe a bit more complicated.
Now, you know, before we move on to the next title, there is one thing I just wanted to bring up, because, you know, these Pokemon games, they're sort of virtual console games. They're sort of not. You know, because they have made some changes to them. But I feel like we've really been getting the short end of the stick on Virtual Console lately. And I'm kind of hoping that's something that gets corrected as we continue to progress through 2016. Like, Europe just recently got Super Mario RPG, you know, from the Super Nintendo. Japan's had it for a while. It seems like a no-brainer that we'll get it here, but... you know, hopefully that's sooner rather than later. And then there's like, you know, stuff like Metroid Zero Mission, which came out in Europe like, 10 months ago and has been in Japan for like years, I think. Like, why hasn't that come out? I mean, I would have expected that to have come out long ago, but it hasn't. And then there's just a whole bunch of other, you know, games as well. Like, you know, I could go on about all the Square Enix stuff that's available in Japan, but not in the West, for no good reason, as far as I can tell. And I just really hope they're able to correct that, because I want to be able to play that stuff from the convenience of my Wii U.
Yeah, I kind of agree and kind of don't. My only hesitation...
Well, I know you don't ever spend your money on that stuff, and you're waiting for the universal account system to go into effect.
That's exactly it. And that was my suspicion for why maybe the new releases have dried up like they have is maybe the way that they've been releasing them on current platforms isn't compatible with kind of a universal account system going forward. And maybe they were saving, more games for the next go-round.
Well, but, they're not. They're just hiding them from North American audiences.
That's it. If they're releasing them in other territories, then that is strange and doesn't seem to be benefiting anything. So let's have them.
I think Hogan's Alley is another one that other territories have gotten and we haven't. A couple other Zapper games. I think Double Dragon 3 came out recently. Double Dragon 3, it really isn't very good. It's not even one of my favorite games, but maybe I'd be willing to give it another go now that I can use save states to be able to not get my butt whooped by the super cheap final boss or something like that. So that is my rant about Virtual Console. And Nintendo, if you don't do something about it, I'm going to send Sega to Sanshiro after you. But continuing down our list of upcoming stuff, the next one is one of the games I am most looking forward to, and that is the HD remake of The Legend of Zelda Twilight Princess.
Absolutely. For years, I've been planning to replay this game. I only beat it all the way through the one time back when it was new, the Wii version. And I often thought I should go back and find the GameCube game, and I've actually looked on eBay quite a few times, and it was never quite as cheap as I was hoping to find it for. But here's a great opportunity to play it, presumably with more enhancements than they revealed so far, and even if it wasn't enhanced at all, I'd still be looking forward to going on this adventure again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, they promised there's more about the game that they haven't yet revealed, so I'm very eager to find out what that's all about. But even aside from that, I think it's just one of the best 3D Zelda games out there. I love the overworld. I still enjoy the aesthetic. I think that the dungeon designs and the bosses are just tremendously fun. And, from the footage we've seen, this does appear to be the flipped version, the GameCube version. And that'll be, very much a new experience for a lot of players.
Yeah. I mean, I guess technically the GameCube version is not the flipped version.
Right.
But the regular one where Link's actually a lefty. But also, one of my favorite things about the game is Midna. A lot of the sidekicks in these games can get annoying sometimes, but I loved Midna from beginning to end.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she is definitely one of the best partner characters in any Zelda game.
And I want to see how it works with the Pac-Man amiibo, the Midna riding Wolf Link.
Mm-hmm.
And also maybe get some hints as to how it will work with Zelda Wii U when it comes out later in the year.
That's right. They have promised that as well. So yeah, as I mentioned, I've played this game extensively. I've played through it several times.
You wrote the book on it, literally.
Yes. Well, I co-wrote the book on it. I was not solely responsible, but I co-wrote the official player's guide on that. So I had to play through it a couple times for that, and I played through it for fun, and I played through it with some friends. And I have to say, I actually started by playing the GameCube version. I played the GameCube version a little bit first. And here's a fun fact that will probably cause the Nintendo Ninjas to get sent after me. But they were originally planning a feature that you'd be able to transfer your GameCube save data over to the Wii version, but that was actually removed from the final products. Did you know that?
No. Any idea why?
I just don't think they were able to get it to work properly, but I'm not entirely sure. But also, maybe because, the Wii version ended up coming out first, whereas they thought, the GameCube version will come out first, people will be playing this, and then, then they'll buy Wiis after this, and if they want to make that transition to the new version, then, it's cool if we can transfer over their save data. But it didn't end up happening that way. The Wii version came out before the GameCube version. And maybe that's why it was removed. Or maybe that's why it came out later. It was because of that feature having been removed. Who knows?
It probably wouldn't have been very practical to expect gamers to buy two versions of what's essentially the same game anyway.
Well, I did. I did buy them both. And, you know, I'd always wanted to go back and play the GameCube version. But because I had played the Wii version so much... Well, let me backtrack a bit. Like I said, I played the GameCube version first, and then I switched over to the Wii version, and it was like, oh, man, this is just making really confusing. It's really hard to get into the Wii one after having played, you know, the first couple areas on GameCube. And so I knew that playing a flipped version just, you know, did all kinds of crazy stuff to my brain and made it really hard to switch between the two versions. So I knew if I ever was going to play the GameCube version, after having played the Wii version so much, it was going to have to be, you know, quite a long time. And so even though I have it, I've never, you know, played through it, because I'm like, okay, got to wait a long time. And, you know, now it's been, you know, 9 years, and now I could probably do it. I could go back and play this this old GameCube copy I have, but I'd rather play it in HD on Wii U. So, you know, I think that is going to be a great way to re-experience the game.
Absolutely. I only played it the one time, so I'll have no trouble forgetting enough about the game that it doesn't weird me out, that everything's reversed from what I'm used to.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that fortunate? What else do we have coming out in March? We got Amiibo.
On the 18th.
Yes. We are going to finally get Ryu, Roy from Fire Emblem, and then Famicom Colors Rob.
Yeah, it kind of makes me, maybe not regrets too strong of a word, but I imported a Famicom Colored Rob thinking we'd never have one over here, so I was quite surprised.
Yeah, me too.
They did it, but it's cool that they're giving people the opportunity to grab it, and I'm most excited about Ryu. I of all the characters, third-party characters that they've added to Smash over the years, he's one of my favorites, if not my favorite, and just having a Nintendo-made toy of that legendary character is going to be special.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's going to be pretty cool. I believe Roy is a GameStop exclusive. I'm not sure if Ryu or Famicom Rob are exclusives, though.
Have they ever done a third-party character as an exclusive? I don't think so.
Now that you mention it, I don't think they have. Sonic wasn't, Pac-Man wasn't. Mega Man wasn't.
Yeah, they probably wouldn't do that just because the third party would want their character, I'm sure, kind of available nationwide, full retail, rather than some kind of specialized smaller single chain of outlets.
That's true, but as we've seen, sometimes the exclusives make them more readily available.
Yeah.
So we shall see.
Oh, if you have the store in your area. And the chains they've gone with are pretty prolific here in the States, but you can't always, there's not always a Best Buy or Walmart within an easy drive.
Well, as I alluded to earlier, Lottie has just been ridiculously easy for us to find. We talked about the stories before how you were the only one there and they had 50 of them, and I still go to the store and they have nothing but a wall of Lotties there. But, I've heard from friends that are in other parts of the country that they, didn't have any at their store for whatever reason. And so, I just had to, grab one and get it for them instead.
That is weird how they must have overshipped to one area and not enough to the other, I guess. And, I grew up in North Carolina, and we didn't have Targets until relatively recently. And even then, I have family who live, still maybe 45 minutes to an hour away from the closest one.
So, yeah, my parents are 45 minutes from the nearest Target. So,
yeah,
and we are not in North Carolina. We're here in California. So, yeah.
So yeah, I guess we luckily we have all the chains. You and I do nearby in our area, but it's just to always remember those folks that maybe aren't so lucky.
Mm-hmm. Next up, we got Hyrule Warriors Legends coming to the 3DS on March 25th.
Now, I'm hoping, they previously said that all the new characters and stuff they're adding to the 3DS version will also be available for the Wii U.
Right, because this is the same game that was released on Wii U more than a year ago, but enhanced with new content and new characters, such as Tetra and the King of Red Lions and Toon Link.
Yeah, so I'm hoping the DLC for the Wii U version is available on the same day as the 3DS release.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that would be very nice. I wouldn't be at all surprised if that happens. I think there's a very good chance that it'll end up that way.
Seems like that's what they'd want to shoot for.
Mm-hmm. Although if you do buy both versions, then I think you just, you know, get it in the Wii U version for no additional cost, right? Whereas if you don't buy that version, then you have to pay to get the new characters.
Yeah, I think that's how it shakes out. Yeah.
I mean, I think I would much prefer to keep playing it on Wii U, but I might pick it up. I mean, it's a new Zelda game, and, you know, I do enjoy my Zelda games.
You know, I never really got, I really never got hooked on the Wii U version. It seems fine. That type of gameplay usually isn't my speed, but I'm wondering if it's portable, if that becomes an easier thing for me to kind of, even right in the middle of a mission, just, you know, close the shell, leave it, come back to it, play it in little pieces where I can, and kind of go through the game that way. Maybe that'll be a better fit for me. So I'm looking at this as a great opportunity to give the game a new chance, because I really do love all of the kind of Zelda fan service they pour into that game. And, you know, when I'm playing it, I'm enjoying myself well enough. It's just, I think with a lot of people, it's just that style of game isn't like, you know, isn't a mega popular, you know, genre here in the U.S. So maybe putting on a portable will make it a little more palatable for me.
Plus, it has Linkle.
Yeah, Linkle. Still not female Link, really, but I'll take it. Linkle, sure.
It's still very uncomfortable for my tongue to say. Well, then, in the following month, in April, we are finally going to be getting Star Fox Zero.
Yeah, and I really hope that when this game resurfaces again and we get a fresh look at it, I really hope the extra time that they spent on it is evident. I don't expect it to look, you know, a lot different, maybe a little more polished, but I hope that that the extra time they needed wasn't just to deliver kind of what they'd already promised, but maybe to deliver something that was more refined than what a lot of people already, you know, got to see and play at trade shows and stuff like that.
Yeah, that would be nice. That would be nice. Because I have to admit, I wasn't blown away. It seemed solid, but not spectacular. It would be very, very nice if the final game was, you know, spectacular. And it's like, yes, this is the definitive must-have Star Fox game. As we know, it's basically a remake of the original, although they're claiming it's not, haven't they? How do they put it? It's not a remake. It's not a prequel. It's...
I'm confused. Maybe a reimagining kind of thing? Like, I think it's essentially... just like any other Star Fox game, the missions are all new and, you know, familiar settings maybe, but I think it's maybe just telling the same story as the first game, but I'm not sure about that.
Well, at any rate, it's one that we have been looking forward to for a while. I mean, when was the last Star Fox game on console? Was it Assault?
On console? Yeah, it may have been the old Namco co-developed title. I mean, there was a, you know, Star Fox... what was the DS title? Command, Star Fox Command, which I initially liked quite a bit. And over time, my opinion of it kind of went down because the actual action was so repetitive. But I still do like some elements of that game. But I'll tell you, I feel like, I mean, I think a lot of Star Fox fans would say that the series really peaked with Star Fox 64. And I mean, that's a long time ago. So I'm really hoping Nintendo does get this new game right, because I don't know how many more chances they're going to have to really catch on, you know, these characters in this type of gameplay with
audiences.
Well,
that's where I was going, is that it's been a long time since we have had a new Star Fox game on console. And so, it would be really great for them to come back and just make a big impact with it and really wow people again with what the series is all about. And so I'm anxious to see how they do it.
Yeah, I really hope they pull it off. And, you know, I'm usually more, excitable about, you know, kind of Nintendo's quirky, you know, gamepad ideas and stuff like that than most people. And maybe even a little bit more forgiving if a new idea is cool, even if it's a little rough around the edges. So I'm hoping that even if it ends up maybe not being a unanimous fan favorite, it's something that I'll really enjoy.
Well, we'll get to find out all about on April 22nd. also in the works. There's no release date for it yet, but this spring we will be getting a Pokken tournament.
Yeah, with that exclusive amiibo card.
That's right. But yeah, this is the Pokemon fighting game. Basically, Pokemon meets Tekken meets Lucha Libre Pikachu.
Yeah. Very arcade-style fighting game. A little bit of a throwback in that way, although from what I understand, it also has a very, you know, simplified and kind of unique, you know, quality to it as well.
I haven't been following it too closely. I've just been looking at it and being like, yep, it's fighting Pokemon. You know, running on, you know, essentially the Tekken engine.
Yeah.
And, yeah, that's enough to get me interested, I'll tell you that much.
Well, I'm not the biggest Tekken fan, but I'll tell you what, after I resubmerge myself into the Pokemon series with the classic, re-releases, maybe I'll be much more excited for Pokken Tournament.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm sure a lot of people will be looking forward to it, because I hear that series is pretty popular.
I think it's got a future.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's a whole bunch of other games coming out that really don't have, you know, much of a release date yet. We just know they're coming sometime in 2016. You know, maybe we know it's the first half of the year. Maybe it's the second half or something. But there's a lot of cool stuff to look forward to, even if it doesn't quite have a release date yet. So let's take a look at some of that. One of the ones I'm looking forward to the most is Bravely Second Endlayer.
Yeah, I mean, this is the one that really kind of reinvigorated traditional style JRPGs, or rather, the first game.
Yeah, well, the first one did. Yeah. Bravely Default.
I know I played the demo and thought it was fine, but for whatever reason, I didn't get into it. But maybe I'll have another shot here with the Endlayer.
I've been meaning to go back. I've really been wanting to go back and play through Bravely Default because, yeah, like you, I played through the demo. I enjoyed it quite a bit, and I picked up, you know, like the collector's edition of the game, and I've been wanting to play it. And I really like the writer that worked on the game, because I think it's the same person who worked on one of my favorite visual novels, Steins Gate. And I've heard it's the same guy, and there's some similarities between there that I've been really looking forward to experiencing. So because of that, I mean to go back, but I just haven't yet. But maybe I can do it before this game comes out, depending on when it hits.
Yeah, now's the time.
Then beyond that, we got even more RPGs. As we were alluding to earlier, we've also got Dragon Quest VII, Fragments of the Forgotten Past, and Dragon Quest VIII, Journey of the Cursed King.
Yeah, both of those for 3DS and the games that had been... you know, we'd known they were coming to Japan for quite a while, but hadn't got any. Actually, are they out in Japan already?
You know, I'm not sure. I know at least one of them is. Mm. I'm not sure if 8 is.
But it looked like we weren't going to get that. That maybe.
Yeah, people were really wondering.
Yeah, but yeah, they finally announced him in that last Nintendo Direct, so that was good news.
Yep, long awaited and finally confirmed. Pretty cool. I will have to pick those up. To support those coming out here.
Yeah, I really hope that the next full-on Dragon Quest that's being made for PS4 and 3DS, I hope the PS4 version also comes to the NX. Maybe this is a good sign, you know, these 3DS remakes that will happen in the US.
Oh, I can confirm that Dragon Quest VIII did indeed come out in Japan back in August. So, yep. The rest of the world has it. We're just waiting for those to get localized and come out over here.
Cool.
And speaking of stuff, we're waiting to get localized. There's this whole crazy Fire Emblem, cross Shin Megami Tensei game, otherwise known as, what is it?
I want to hear you say this.
Genei Ibun Roke # FE? Got me.
I think that's it. I think that's pretty close.
Number FE, but yeah, it is the Fire Emblem Shin Megami Tensei crossover for Wii U. It came out in Japan recently. Didn't exactly set the world on fire, but I remain very intrigued.
I'm intrigued only because, and as a recent, with Fire Emblem Awakening, as a recent Fire Emblem fan, this game doesn't really seem to be screaming Fire Emblem in a way that Fire Emblem fans have to check it out.
Yeah, it really does seem more like a Shin Megami Tensei title.
But it is so bizarre, the whole thing about walking around what looks like Japan, and there's the fights look like these weird dance battles in front of crowds. These were like Japanese idol kind of idol offs. I don't know. It's so bizarre and hard to wrap my head around that you gotta stop and check it out because it's just so crazy and unique.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I want to experience it firsthand for sure.
Hopefully it's crazy and unique in a good way, but either way, at least they tried something different.
Let's see. Then we've got Mario and Sonic at the 2016 Rio Olympic Games. That is coming out on Wii U, right? Or is it also 3DS?
I would imagine both. I think all the other ones were on both, or at least on both console and handheld going back to the Wii.
Yeah, I think that's true. It's actually a surprise that the game isn't out yet, because usually they would have these come out like, you know, months and months, or maybe even like a year in advance of the actual Olympics happening. Mm. But, you know, here we are. The Olympics are this summer, and, you know, it's still, you know, no sign of a release date yet, which makes a lot more sense when you think about it.
I guess so. I can't muster much enthusiasm for these games anymore. I mean, initially the idea that Mario and Sonic were crossing over in a game of any kind was what sold me on the series originally. But
yeah,
as time goes by, I was just like, you know, every time I play these, it's none of these games aren't bad. It's kind of a mediocre package of stuff, and I don't know. I feel like I've been there, done that. But
yeah, I've never really been able to get into them either. I mean, I like what they're trying to do. I definitely like the RPG mode they had in one of the handheld releases for, I think, I want to say it was one of the Winter Games releases. That was a cool mode. But still, it's been, you know, not really my thing, I guess.
Yeah. Not to poo-poo on it. I haven't played the new version. Maybe they get better with each iteration, but... Also, I feel like the Wii kind of burned me out on mini games for a while.
And you know, as we have chronicled, you know, the Wii U and, you know, to a lesser extent the 3DS, not really known as being big with third party support, but there are a couple of notable titles on the way in 2016 that people should pay attention to. There's a new Harvest Moon game coming out on Wii U, Harvest Moon Seeds of Memories, and that you know, is very much a throwback to the old classic 2D Harvest Moon style. You know, I think that that fans of the series will be happy to see that. You know, no more of this this digging up and you know, rearranging your environment that was in the last 3DS game, but just going back to something. You know, straight up, very, very traditional. And then we've got Return to Poplocroyte, Story of Seasons Fairy Tale, which, you know, speaking of farming games, combines farming with, you know, role-playing turn-based battles. And that, you know, is very intriguing as well. Strange, but intriguing. And... you know, there is no U.S. release date for it yet, but, you know, Shin Megami Tensei 4 Final has been announced for Japan, and I would be pretty shocked if it does not come out in North America as well. Alice has been a very strong supporter of the 3DS, and they know there's a, you know, a lot of fans over here in North America, so I do expect that that one is going to be coming out here.
Cool. Yeah, it's you know, these platforms don't get the lion's share of third-party support these days, but it's nice to see that there are still some series and some franchises, you know, on Wii U and 3DS that continue to draw a crowd that aren't from Nintendo.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and you know, as I was you know, talking about earlier, we were talking about down near the start of the show, there is that new Sonic Boom game. I believe it is called Sonic Boom: A Song of Ice and Fire. Which is a really, you know, weird way to go. I imagine, you know, Tails will get decapitated, you know, early on, and then they'll probably, you know, chop off Amy Rose's hand or something like that.
Is that really the title?
Oh, you know, you're right. I'm sorry. It's Sonic Boom Fire and Ice. I'm totally mistaken. I'm sorry. Yeah, my bad.
I was ready
Sonic
to believe
Boom,
you. I just read
Sonic Boom Fire and Ice.
I just rewatched season 5 of Game of Thrones, so anything Song of Ice and Fire related, it just feels natural. Yeah, okay, I'll go with that.
But Sonic Boom Fire and Ice, it was supposed to be out last year, and they have delayed it. I don't know if there is a release date yet. You know, I looked it up on Amazon recently, and they seem to be indicating they don't think it'll be out until way late in the year. But sometimes they put up these crazy placeholder dates that are totally meaningless. But I'm really glad that they did delay it, because the previous Sonic Boom games were pretty terrible from what I hear, and if they are delaying it substantially to beef up the quality a whole bunch and make a Sonic game that does not suck, that would be only a good thing, in my opinion.
Well, what's that Miyamoto quote that gets bandied about so often? A rushed game is bad forever, but a delayed game will eventually be good, maybe. We hope, something like that.
Close enough. But then there are a couple other big things coming out. I guess we were kind of alluding to these earlier. We don't know what the release date is going to be, but there will be a few more amiibo for these last DLC characters. Corrin, Bayonetta, and Cloud. And Cloud is one of the ones I'm looking forward to the most. You said your favorite or your most anticipated is Ryu. I think mine is Cloud, because that's sort of the crazy third-party character with, published by Nintendo for me that, never should have happened.
That's definitely the one you can't believe exists. Ryu is just more, personally, I like the character a little bit better than Cloud. I have more of a history with it. But as far as the take a look at this, like if I could go back in time and show a Nintendo made Cloud toy to a younger Chris Slate, then that's the one I would grab to go back in time with, because no one would believe it.
Mm-hmm. But then on top of that, supposedly in 2016, we are still going to get The Legend of Zelda for Wii U.
You'd have to think this is going to happen. I mean, most Zelda games go through at least one major delay. And, they had theirs this year. And then you'd think they would be gun-shy about giving any kind of release time frame until they're absolutely certain they'll be able to hit it. And I think they've just recently reconfirmed, or rather confirmed maybe even for the first time, that Zelda Wii U will come out in 2016. So I'm willing to believe them at this point. The first couple times a Zelda game is announced and you get a release date, maybe you look at it a little iffy. But when they get to the third or the fourth release date, or release time frame, I figure it's about due.
Well, I hope so, but what gets me is that we know almost nothing about the game, and it doesn't have a subtitle yet, and we really don't know much about the game other than it has a pretty big world, and you can apparently slow-mo leap off your horse and shoot bad guys.
Well, I think a big reason.
There's just so much to learn.
Yeah, and we'll have plenty of time for that. I wouldn't imagine this game will be ready until holiday 2016. So we've got a year. I'm sure it'll have a big re-coming out party at E3. And also, a lot of these, we probably wouldn't know more about the game, obviously, by this point. But once they started probably internally to decide that it was likely going to be delayed, I'm sure that's when they started really, slowing up on the information release. And also, if they are going to do an NX version, which it seems likely, then they probably don't want to talk too much about the Wii U version until they can talk about the NX version. So now you're kind of waiting for that deadline, which would be E3, presumably.
How are they going to make an NX version of a Legend of Zelda game when you're only going to be able to play it with a power pad?
Well, that is an interesting point. Depending on how crazy and different the new system is, maybe it's more or less possible. But you'd have to think that part of the reason for the delay was so they could, sneak it onto the next system. Otherwise, we won't get another Zelda game on NX for like 5 years.
It does seem highly probable, I suppose.
Yeah. Make it happen.
But yeah, I'm really eager to see what they've got in store with this next Zelda game. I mean, it could be anything, really, without knowing anything about it. It could, go in any direction. I'm looking forward to, having a more open world. I'm looking forward to more non-linearity, like they were starting to do a little bit of in Link Between Worlds. It should be, very, very interesting, and, can't wait to see more of it.
So far Nintendo's shown very little, but what they have shown us is essentially just, Link riding around, on Epona, across this big, bigger than ever kind of world. And so I think just based on what we have seen so far, like a lot of people, the main thing I want to see when they bring the game back is, does this world feel more populated than what we've seen? Does it feel more alive? Because that was the big worry with what we'd seen already was that, yeah, it's pretty and we like the idea behind it. But if you're essentially just rolling across a largely kind of barren landscape, then is it really that exciting or thrilling that you have more space to cross?
Yeah, totally. But like I keep saying, we don't know anything about it. We don't know what weapons are in there. We don't know what the dungeons are like. We don't know what the towns are like. There's all this stuff to be revealed, and that is going to be fun to learn, in my opinion.
Absolutely.
It's been such a long time since, I've been able to play a Zelda game without, having known about it extensively beforehand. So, this should be a lot of fun. Looking forward to see it appear again at E3 or whatever other events they have. Should be awesome.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it goes without saying, I think. But like most Nintendo fans, it's my most looked forward to game of 2016.
It's weird. I want to say it is for me too, but until I know more about it, it really isn't yet. But I'm sure it'll get there.
Yeah, well, they've got plenty of time to sell you on it.
Yeah, I mean, once I know more about it, we'll undoubtedly get there. But, at the moment, I'm a little more excited about Twilight Princess because I know what that game is. And I know I love it. So, it's a little weird, but I'm sure that in the coming months, it will become my most anticipated game for sure. Yeah, I mean, I feel like there's a lot of good stuff coming, multiple Zelda games, multiple Dragon Quest games, multiple Fire Emblem games, some decent, third party support with stuff like Mighty No. 9. Oh, there's another game I totally forgot about that's also a third party title, sort of an indie release along the lines of Mighty No. 9. That is the new Shantae game, the HD Shantae game.
Oh, yeah.
Half Genie Hero. Boy, I almost forgot about that one. That's going to be coming out on Wii U, and the Shantae series has, been very good to Nintendo fans and very enjoyable to play, so that should be another cool one to look forward to.
Yeah, I backed that game, so I'm absolutely looking forward to it.
One of those corrupted journalists, huh?
Well, I'm no longer...
Just like me.
What can we say? We support what we love.
And then, Star Fox, Pokemon, Mega Man, and most of that stuff was just in the first half of the year, so.
And it's normal, at this time of a year, we're just getting started, we generally don't know a lot about what's going to come up, beyond the first couple of quarters. But judging just by what we've got here in the first part of 2016, it's off to a great start and probably one of the better starts that these systems have had. Some of that is probably partly due because we've had a couple of key titles that have been, that weren't supposed to come out this year, but slipped back into this year. At a time where most people are looking forward and kind of anticipating, NX news, it's nice to see that there's still very good support showing up for these current consoles.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of NX, as we said earlier, it's going to have its big coming out party this year. It's probably going to be, the talk of E3. Do you have any more, predictions or anything relating to NX?
Well, absolutely. Actually, I've got quite a few predictions, and I know that you you don't like to go out on a limb. You don't like to definitely say that things will or won't happen.
I broke my crystal ball a long time ago.
But I'm not afraid to be horribly, disastrously wrong. So I'm going to make some bold predictions here about NX and a few other things as well. And I'll try to make it snappy since I know we're already kind of in overtime here. I think NX will launch in the fall. I've seen reports that some analysts believe, and not that they get any insider information, but they believe that it won't actually ship in 2016. I guess it wouldn't surprise me too much looking at how, the prolonged kind of dragging out, kind of final days how badly and slowly it seemed to go for some of the past consoles, Wii especially. I can see, you know, NX coming out in 2017, but I really feel like things are aligning for it to come out this year. You know, for example, the team that makes all the 3D Mario games, you know, what have they been up to for the, you know, since Mario 3D World? And I imagine that their new game would be ready before the end of this year, and I would imagine that it would be appearing on the NX. Same.
Yeah, I do think that their next game will be on NX. I do think it will be you know, ready for launch, I would say. So yeah. I guess you could say that's a prediction I'm willing to make.
Yeah, absolutely, for launch.
Next 3D Mario.
If the next 3D Mario launched for NX in the fall, then that will have been 3 years since Super Mario 3D World came out. So seems like a good time. I think, you know, we've said this before, I think we'll get an enhanced version of Zelda Wii U. I would imagine that will also be a launch game. Retro's game, you know, they haven't shown us anything. I think maybe they've behind the scenes helped out on a couple of other Nintendo projects since Donkey Kong Country Tropical Freeze came out, but they haven't put out a full game since Tropical Freeze, and that's been a, you know, 2.5 years by the time we get to the fall. So it wouldn't surprise me if they're working on something. I'd say I don't think it's going to be Donkey Kong. I think it's a 50-50 chance that it's Metroid or a brand new kind of IP, but that'll be exciting. And I don't think we'll necessarily get a new Mario Kart straight away, but you know, if you consider that it's been, you know, by the time we get the fall, it will have been a little over 2 years since Mario Kart 8 initially shipped, not counting the DLC. Wouldn't surprise me if, you know, some of the first footage we see of, like, the upcoming, you know, NX games would include Mario Kart in that. And maybe...
Well, people do love Mario Kart, so, you know, it should be one that they're already working on.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, maybe this is a little bit more of a crazy prediction, but there have been some rumors and some speculation for a while that a new Diddy Kong Racing might be in the works. So maybe we would get that closer to launch to tide us over with a big kind of Mario Kart coming later on. I do think we're going to get a crazy new controller, probably the one that we discussed that was shown in the patents with the LCD screen. I do think it's going to be some kind of hybrid console, even if it's just sharing some games a la iOS, you know, that some of the games that I bought, you know, on my handheld will also play on my console.
Well, we know that's definitely going to be the case when it comes to, like, virtual console stuff. So I don't think there's any question about that. That seems like a no-brainer.
I think it'll probably be revealed at E3, although Nintendo has only said that they were going to finally talk about it in 2016. So there's every possibility they could have a Nintendo Direct or a special event earlier than E3 if they felt like that was to some strategic advantage to get that news out earlier. Maybe they want to release part of the information early and then show the games off at the show or something. But at the very least,
that could happen.
At the very least, there's no way we're going to go past E3 without having gotten a full kind of official you know, introduction. And I predict that's going to be the biggest story of the year because, you know, new hardware is usually, you know, the biggest news, and we're certainly not going to be talking about PlayStation 5 or, you know, Xbox One 2 or whatever it's called, you know.
Or Vita 2.
And I think, you know, there will be other new hardware this year in the terms of VR headsets, you know, Sony's PlayStation VR and also I can only think of the code names. What's the Oculus Rift?
Yes, Oculus Rift.
But I predict that those are going to be off to a slow start, and I'm personally excited about those, but I feel like the fact that we're not talking price on those yet, the fact that it seems like some of the early experiences are still more tech demo-y than full-on games, I feel like it's going to really be the hardest of the hardcore, including myself, supporting those earlier on. But I think for anyone thinking that Nintendo maybe should have gone the VR route with their new system, I think that maybe that will prove to have not been a bad decision by Nintendo, at least early on, to do something maybe a little more traditional. I don't think we're going to see any quality of life products this year, maybe ever. I feel like Nintendo hasn't talked about that in a while, and that seemed to have been something that you got the sense that maybe Iwata was championing.
I guess, but even he didn't seem to really know what it was going to be, maybe.
Yeah.
I mean, we knew it was going to be some sleep thing, but it seemed like it came, you know, it was really hard for them to come to that decision. So I could totally see that thing, you know, totally being you know, brushed aside.
Well, and you know, with they've said they're going to continue to support Wii U and 3DS to some degree even after the NX comes out, and you, whether they're preparing for the NX launch or actually launching it, it just seems like they've got too much on their plate this year. Also, when you throw in the mobile games, which we haven't touched on yet, but we'll have some
of those.
That's right. This year.
Totally ignored that.
Too much going on to, for them to spend you know, attention on quality of life. You know, we hinted at this before. It's a no-brainer. I think we will see a Sonic Anniversary title beyond the Sonic Boom title for 3DS. And I think we're going to see Nintendo try something new with Amiibo. I think, you know, Amiibo's been riding strong, but it can't stay this hot forever. I think, especially when you lump it in with all the other Toys to Life products out there now, the market's starting to get really saturated. Actually, has been saturated for quite a while. And I wonder if this isn't the year that maybe... you know, that bubble bursts a little bit. And so I would expect Nintendo to try to get a little bit more creative, and just as they did with the Amiibo cards and the larger plushized Mega Yar Yoshi and, you know, some of the other stuff they've been doing, I would expect them to try a new form of Amiibo.
New form of Amiibo?
Yeah. Not quite sure. I mean, I have no ideas what that would be, but I'd be very surprised if Nintendo didn't try to get, you know, a little funky with that.
I'm certainly up for more Amiibo myself, but I can't imagine what they could do that would be, you know, better than figurines.
Maybe just a different type of figurine. You know, we've talked before, we don't have ships yet. You know, I'd love to have Samus's gunship or the transformable ships even that are going to be in Star Fox Zero. But who knows? Who knows? I mean, they could put that little NFC chip in anything. They could put it in game boxes if they wanted to.
Yeah, they could.
Yeah, so we'll just have to see what happens there. And, you know, a lot of people have been saying for a long time that the Wii U should, I mean, people have always been saying that the Wii U should drop its price. And even, you know, when you do get a little price drop, that does it quiet down. I would imagine we're going to see a Wii U and a 3DS price drop this year, especially as the NX comes out. So maybe that means Wii U transitions into more of a, you know, what you often get with consoles later in their lifespans, which is more of an entry-level, family-focused platform at a discounted price.
Yeah, I guess they could be doing a redesign. It's possible.
Yeah, that's true. Very possible. That is very true.
They do like to do that a few years into a system's life cycle.
In fact, that just became my new prediction. We will see a remodeled Wii U come out in 2016.
What about Zelda's 30th anniversary? You know, you mentioned that a little bit earlier on in the show. You think they're going to do anything for that? Nintendo's been, you know, kind of poor about celebrating some of their series anniversaries.
Yeah. I would say it's a no-brainer that there'll be a special 30th anniversary Amiibo in the same way that they had one for the Super Mario Brothers 30th anniversary. And I'm sure they'll put a 30th anniversary logo on the Twilight Princess HD box and on the Zelda Wii U game box.
That seems likely.
And on the NX version of that game, if there is one.
But I sure hope they go further. Personally, I'd love to see them go further than that.
Well, I'd love to see them re-release the original Zelda game in some new form. Even if it was just like a Super Mario All-Stars kind of tile switch where you just give a slight visual boost to the original game. You know, or just sell me the same games on the same disc, but with a nice art book or something. Just something where they put a little love and care into it. I think there's a lot of things they could do, but, you know, like you, I just hope that they do take the effort and time to do something beyond, you know, the bare minimum that anyone would expect.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that would be nice. I mean, personally, I'd like to see them do, you know, a 30th anniversary set of Amiibo that has, you know, different characters from throughout the ages, you know, all the different, you know, versions of Link and Ganon and Zelda, and then, you know, all the ancillary characters, you know, like Tingle and Error and Groose and so on and so forth. I think that would be pretty cool. Wouldn't bet on it, but it would be pretty cool.
Well, that would be fantastic. And if they're at all worried, you'd think after the way even the most obscure characters have sold as Amiibo that they wouldn't have this concern. But if they were at all worried that these specific characters wouldn't find a big enough audience, packaging together in special 30th anniversary sets is a surefire way to guarantee that, you know, you're going to sell about as many as you can make.
Mm-hmm. Yep, absolutely.
And they have to come in gold boxes.
Yeah, that would be great. That would be an excellent homage to the NES original.
Yep.
Wow, that was quite a bit of predictions. A lot of games too, And, you know, as we kind of alluded to, we still managed to get through all that without even mentioning Miitomo. That's their Mii-based mobile game that's coming out in a couple of months. And then they're involved in that the Pokemon Go, the you know, the real world Pokemon finding game. So yeah, lots and lots of stuff going on in the world of Nintendo.
And also, I'm sure
2016.
Yeah, and also we didn't touch on this either, but I'm sure there's going to be continued DLC for Mario Maker, probably Splatoon, and probably
That's likely as well.
Probably a lot of the other games that come out are going to get that continued support that Nintendo seems to be bringing to all of its big titles now. And I'll tell you what, if they give if they finally put slopes into Mario Maker, that might be the most important thing of the year for me.
Yeah, that would be a cool thing to see. We're in danger of having this episode go on all the way into next week's episode, so I think we will wrap it up here. But before we go, there is still time for a dramatic reading. This time from the NES game Black Bass. The rumor is true that they will open the International Anglers Fishing Tournament with selected 200 professional anglers at your NES. The shadow of the fish appears from the depths of the lake. This is a real simulation game between man and fish. The Black Bass makes a fantasy dreamy competition come true. The Black Bass will jump up and try to hide at the bottom of the trees in the four different lakes. Now the tournament is ready to start.
I feel bad for the Black Bass.
And the best part is this kid holding a giant black bass on the back of the box. It's pretty fantastic.
Wait, was that it? That's the whole thing?
That's the whole thing.
Holy cow. We've heard some very verbose back of the boxes, and this is the shortest one I think we've ever encountered.
Hey, we are running along. What can I do?
Oh, yeah, that's true. Balances it out.
But it is still fantastic in its diminutive glory.
All right. Well, I'm going to go off and slowly die somewhere with my cold. As always, you can find us at powerpros.podbean.com, and you can follow us at powerprospod on both Facebook and Twitter. You can also follow the Hoff on Twitter at Chris the Hoff, and I'm at Chris Slate. Hoff also has a cool blog you should check out. It's called Still Playing with Power, and you can find it at christhehoff.tumblr.com. You can find us on YouTube. You can also email us at powerprospod@gmail.com. And if you like the podcast, we always really appreciate it if you can drop by iTunes and let us know.
Thanks for listening, everybody. For myself, Chris Slate.
See ya.
And a character we hope that does not appear on Nintendo in 2016, Bubsy.
Nothing can stop me now.
We will see you next time.
It seems that Chris Slate has to go away for a while. So I will be taking over his position as co-host on this week's episode of The Wide World of Fish. One of my favorite fish. It is the cheap cheap. It will chase after you. It was the cheap cheap as it jumps out of the water. And then sometimes it hits your feet and it just dies. That is the end. Bloop, bloop, bloop. It is gone, like it was never there. Then sometimes it comes up beneath you, and you die instead. And you scream in agony and say, why me? Why? What did I do to deserve such a fate?